Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Father God, we are so grateful for your presence in this place. We know that the word tells us where two or three of us are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst of us. And so today, Father, we come to you as your children. And we ask that you would speak a word into our hearts today, a word into our lives, a word into our spirits, that we would leave changed. God, we know that the level of our receptiveness and our openness will determine the word that you have for us today. And so we are open and we are vulnerable, and we ask your spirit to speak to each of us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said a resounding amen, amen. It is so good to see you in church. Am I the only one who's happy? It's so good to be gathered together as the church. Won't you turn to somebody, say, welcome to Thrive, give them a fist pump or a foot tap. If you're watching online today, I want to welcome you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. There's no place like the local church. If you're watching online, the only reason you should be watching online is if you're a guest and you're checking us out, then you're welcome. If you're sick at home, we'll pray for you to get well. But next week, be in the house because the presence of God is here. It was so great to take off communion together today. That is part of what we are instructed to do as the body of Christ, to have communion together, to remember the work that Jesus did on the cross. And we had drive-through communions, which were incredible, but nothing beats this, where we get to look to our left, look to our right, struggle with our little communion cups together. Pastor Steve says there's a technique and he taught it to me. So next time we do communion, we're going to teach everybody the technique. Well, we are in a sermon series entitled Small Stories, Big Truths. Small Stories, Big Truths. And last week, Pastor Byron kicked us off. It was 2 weeks ago, Kulu kicked us off with an incredible message. Last week, Pastor Byron carried it on. Today, it's my privilege to continue. And next week, Pastor Byron will be back here at our Boxburg campus. Today, he's in our Edenvale campus. And we're just so thrilled to be able to gather together and speak into this. If you missed either of those messages, I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our YouTube page and catch up on the series, because this series has been life-changing. Today, I get to continue in this series. And to be honest with you, God prompted me from a little while ago on what to speak on. And you know, I'm just stubborn in some ways, right? And I said to God, no, I don't want to speak on this parable. Everybody knows this parable. And if I start speaking on this parable, they're going to start taking their phones out, yawning, scrolling some sort of social media, dreaming about their lunch, especially this service. Like the other service might have been their breakfast, but this service, their lunch, and they're going to be, oh, Pastor Candace, we've heard this, we know this. And so I decided that I'm going to be obedient to God after a struggle. You know, it's always good for a pastor to be obedient to God. So I decided to be obedient and to leave the receptivity up to you and for me to just obey God, because I know he's got a word for us as a church and we need to be open to that today. And so what we're going to start by doing is having a look at the screens. And on our screens, you're going to see that there are two towers. In a moment, there's going to be two towers. I love you, Vass. Listen, our technical team are amazing. They do an incredible work. They do an incredible work week in, week out, online, offline, anyway. They're always here, and we love them and appreciate them and honor them. So here are the two towers that we want to talk about today. The first tower on the right is called the Burj Khalifa. It is the second tallest building in the world. It stands at 828 meters high. 828 meters high. It used to be the tallest. There is one now that is just slightly taller than that. And it is in Dubai. If you go to Dubai, it's one of the tallest tall skyscrapers that is present. But what you need to know about this building is that its foundations are 50 meters deep. So before they began building, they went 50 meters underground to build this. And then they started going higher. It's 11,000 tons of concrete cement and 55 tons of steel. The Burj Khalifa is going nowhere. Not anytime soon. In contrast, we see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, what I need to tell you is these have been photoshopped into one picture. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is only 55 meters tall. So they might look the same height, but the one is 828 meters. The other one is only 55 meters tall, and it is leaning. At one point, it leaned so far, a 5-degree angle of a lean, that they said it was going to fall down. And so they needed to do some work on its foundations in order to secure it, in order for it not to fall down. And so in Italy is where you will see this. In one of the small towns in Tuscany is where you will see this. But what you need to know about these foundations is it was built on soft, sedimenty sand, which they didn't really think about that when building the 55-meter-tall building. But now, I mean, Italy are super smart. They make it a tourist attraction. A falling building is a tourist attraction, okay? I don't understand that. But anyway, the important thing about both of these buildings is their foundations. The foundations make all the difference. They make all the difference to these buildings, and they make all the difference to our lives. Just like a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6, I was in Sunday school, and you guys are a bit slower, okay? I was in Sunday school, and we learned this incredible song. And you're the 10 a.m., so I need you to just start getting your hands warm, because there's some actions to the song. And I'm not part of the worship team anymore, so I use every preaching opportunity I can to sing. And so I'm about to sing our Sunday school song, but it is accompanied with actions. So I'm not sure why your hands are all folded. They need to be ready. Okay. All right, so I'm going to sing this song. As I sing this song, follow my actions. But it's quite hard to do so many things. I'm going to do actions and sing. So just do your best to follow my really strange actions. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Yes. Okay. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. 10 a.m. knows this one. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Nice. Now we're going to go to second verse, which is my favorite, because at the end you get to go splat. Okay. Are you ready? But now I feel like that was first service volume. We got to move to second service volume and first verse volume. Now we're moving to second verse volume. So we have to increase the volume in your masks and bigger actions. And I am seeing people who are not doing actions. And I am actually going to invite you onto stage with me. So it would be wise to just do it in your seat. Okay. All right, here we go. Second verse. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling. Nice. Now it's your turn. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came. And the house on the sand went splat. Yes! Now the song may seem little and cute, and this parable might seem small, but its truth is huge for us today. It has some significant significance for us, some great significance. And it is powerful if we will get past the Sunday schoolness of it and apply it to our lives. And so this parable is found in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 17, and I'm going to read it for you today. And it says this: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the stream rose up, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose up, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." You know, these three verses, only three verses, they're incredible verses, are part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is one of Jesus' greatest sermons, the greatest preacher of all times, preaching the greatest sermon of all times, the longest recorded sermon, and it is part of that, and he is preaching to the crowd. And if you read Matthew 7, he rolls from one story to the next story to the next story. But what's significant for us today is the word "therefore." The word "therefore" at the beginning is so important because this tells us that it's linked to something previous that we need to take note of. Every time Jesus used parables, there's a reason that Jesus used parables. He said something to someone and then he undergirded it with a story. He said something to his disciples, he undergirded it with a story. He said something to the Pharisees, he undergirded it with a story. Here he says something to the crowd, and he undergirds it with a story. And so today, we're going to take a quick look at the three verses that precede this, because they are so, so important to the context for us today. And so it's Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, and it says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day," and that's the day when we get to be in heaven, "'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" In other words, putting those two portions of scripture together, true disciples are those who hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice. If we just hear the words of Jesus, one day we're going to enter heaven and we're going to go, "Lord, Lord," he's like, "I don't know you. I don't know you." You might be saying, "Lord, but do I know you? Do you do the words of Jesus? Or do you just hear the words of Jesus?" So the foundation is key here, is what the scripture tells us. The foundation of our lives is key. And hearing and doing is important. But before we get into this, there are a couple of things I want to point out from the wise and foolish builder. There are a couple of things that they had in common, and then there was one huge difference between the two of them. So let's take it away. Well, let's talk about the couple of things they had in common. Let me start with asking a question. Have you ever built anything? A house, a room on a house, a Wendy house? If you've built anything, give me a wave. Let me see a wave. Yeah, there's the builders in this service. Okay, I love building. We built one house in our lives, and I loved it. I was a teacher at that time. I would teach music at the school, and then afterwards, I would run to our building project and our building site and see how far they'd gotten for the day. And the one day, I took great pride in telling the builder that he had built a wall where there should have been a door. And he disagreed with me, and then I said, "Well, let's get the plans." And then he got the plans out, and he goes, "You're right." And then he gave me the great privilege of pushing down his wall, which was super fun. But we've built many things here at the church. We started with a little minor hall, and then we built onto it an office block and this hall and that hall and this balcony. And my favorite thing to do after two or three days is put on my hard hat and walk through the building. I don't know much about the specifics. I can't even say the word, okay? I don't know much about the specifics. I don't know if it's spirit level. I don't know what cement they use. I don't know what foundation. But I love seeing progress, right? After two or three days, I want to see if there's progress. But the one thing I know for sure about every single building we have ever built is we built it with a plan for it to last into the future. We didn't build it with a plan that it would crumble to the floor. That was never the plan. And so what we need to know when we read the story about the wise and foolish builder is both the wise and the foolish builder had this in common. They built their houses with the desire that it would last long into the future. None of them built it thinking, I hope it falls down in a year or two. You know, I really hope my house crashes to the ground. So they had this in common. There was a dream, a desire, a God-given thing within them that said, I want to build something that lasts way beyond me. What we need to know about houses is that houses in the Bible represents four different things. The first thing that houses represent in the Bible are our lives. It's our education, our possessions, our careers, the places that we live. We want to build our lives with the idea that they last into the future, not so that they come crashing down after a year or two. The desire that God puts in our lives, in our hearts for our lives, is one that it will last way long into the future. The second thing we know from Scripture about houses is that they represent families. We want our families to last into the future. I have never been to a wedding, and recently with lockdowns easing up, I've been to many weddings recently. We don't go to a wedding watching two people commit their lives to each other, where their desire is that in a few years' time, they will end in divorce. That's never the plan. We don't make vows to each other in the front row, in front of a congregation, thinking, well, in a few years' time, my marriage is going to come crashing down. That's never the desire. We want to build families that thrive. We want to build homes that thrive and have relationships that thrive. Nobody has children and desires for them to be delinquents. I mean, that's not our plan. Like, I don't want to raise little criminals. That's never been my desire. Our desire is to have a family, a loving family, a home where we can do life together, where there's this little group of people, and some of you have bigger groups of people, where we get to do life with each other, love each other well. And so the second thing is houses represent families, houses represent lives, and the third thing is houses represent churches or ministries. So many of you attend this incredible church, and so many of you involved in ministries. Nobody desires to be part of the worship team or a ministry in this church that in like 2 years' time, the church comes crashing to the floor. That is never the goal. When the first financial crisis happens, the desire for the church is not that it would crumble. When there's a leadership crisis, the desire for the church is not that it would crumble. The desire that God has birthed is that this church, Thrive Church, will remain for generations to come and get stronger with each generation. That's the desire that God places for churches. The fourth thing is that houses represent societies or nations. We want to be part of a thriving nation, a thriving society where there isn't corruption and crime. That isn't the desire. We don't live in this country thinking, yes, that's what I want for my life. No, that's not what we want. We want our country and our lives to be better. We have a desire. We want to build houses that will last beyond us. So what you need to know, point number one, both of these builders, the wise and the foolish, had a plan that their houses would last long into the future. The second thing we see is that they both heard the words of Jesus. We are not talking about those who followed Jesus and agnostics or atheists in this scripture. This scripture is talking about two people sitting in the same church, both hearing the words of Jesus. They attended their Mount of Olives church, or the Mount of, I don't even know the name of the mountain where this was, but they attended the same church. They heard the words of Jesus. They both heard the words of Jesus. So we're not talking about Christ followers and non-believers. We are talking about both who proclaim, and I say proclaim very strategically, both of these men, the wise and the foolish builders, both proclaimed to be followers of Christ. And I say proclaimed because it's one thing to say you're a follower of Christ, and it's another thing to actually follow Christ. They are completely different things. The third thing we see is that both of these men, the wise and the foolish man, they had this in common. They experienced a hurricane-type storm. And when I read this text, it reveals that there was a massive storm that came. The rains came down, the floods came up, the winds blew against them. It pretty much sounds like our last 18 months, right? So like a hurricane-type storm that's come against all of us in this season. They both experienced it. And often, I will speak to Christ followers who are saying, I don't know why I'm experiencing a storm. Well, the Bible tells us that in this life, in the here and now, on earth, we will have troubles. We don't get exempt because we follow Jesus from storms. John 16:33, it says, and I want to get the wording right, that here on earth, there will be many trials and sorrows, but we are to take heart because he, Jesus, has overcome the world. So we both the builders, the wise and the foolish, the Christ followers and the non-Christ followers, everybody experiences storms. But Christ followers can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world, is what Scripture tells us. The storms come for two reasons. There's a purpose in our storms, and we are going to experience storms. It's once been said that you are either currently in a storm, exiting a storm, or about to enter a storm in your life, because that's what the nature of life is on earth. They are filled with storms, but there are purposes in our storms. The first purpose is to reveal who the wise builder is and who the foolish builder is. When looking at a building from the outside, it looks amazing. But only when the storm comes, only when the wind comes, only when the rain comes, only when the floodwaters come, do we know in that instant which of the builders was a wise builder and which of the builders was a foolish builder. Because that building's going to come crashing down if it's not built on the right foundations. So the first reason is to reveal the wise and foolish builder. The second is to reveal our foundations to ourselves. God knows our foundations, friends. We can't hide that from him. But this storm, these last 18 months, I believe they've come to reveal the foundations of our lives to ourselves. God has spoken to me so much through this season. Candace, your foundations are shaky in this space. Your faith isn't as it should be. Your confessions are not where they should be. Your negative thinking is not where it should be. And he's revealed, this storm has revealed to me the conditions of my foundations. And so we need to examine our lives and see for ourselves what did difficult seasons reveal to ourselves about the condition of our foundations. It's not revealing it to God. It's revealing it to ourselves. And then we're to do something about that. Not just go, oh, well, my foundations are wishy-washy. Let's just leave them like that. No, then it's the time for us to reinforce them. And the one thing that's really important for us to realize is we cannot work on our foundations in a storm. There's nothing we can do when the storm hits. When we are exiting a storm and God's revealed to us the things about our foundations, that's the time to work on our foundations. We need to work on our foundations before the storm. We need to work on the foundations after the storm. But in the storm, we have to hold on to God and say, well, God, I'm going to wait for this to pass, and I see what you're showing me. The foundations of my life are not good in this area and this area. And once the storm is done, I will reinforce these foundations so that my life, my family, my church, my society will last long after because I've fortified my foundations. So there's three things they had in common, friends. They both had the plan and the desire that their buildings would last into the future. They both heard the words of Jesus, and they both went through a significant storm in their lives. But there was one thing that separated them, the one thing that distinguished them from each other. And the one thing was that the one was called wise, and the one was called a fool. The one was called wise and the one was called a fool. And this is solely based because of the foundation on which they built their lives. So the wise person built his life on the rock, and the foolish person built his life on sand. Now I'm going to take a short left, and then I'm going to come back. What do I know about rocks? Firstly, building on rock. The first thing we need to know is that it takes time. It doesn't happen quickly to build on rock. You have to dig that rock up. You have to smooth that rock. You have to anchor stuff to the rock. Building on rock takes time. It's the first thing I know about rock. The second thing I know about rock is it's hard work. It's not easy sand where we just go, oh, here we go, build cement. It's hard work. We have to get graders in there to smooth out the rock. We have to pour cement in the rock. We have to build, might use dynamite to blow up some of the rock. But the point is, it's hard work. The third thing I know about rock is it's costly. It's costly. I have to get expensive equipment to my house to smooth out these rocks, to blast these rocks. So the same is true with the foundations building on rock, friends. There's three things. It's hard work building on rock. It takes time building on rock. And it's really costly building on rock, building our lives on rock. When I was around the age of 5 or 6, I can't remember the exact age, but my parents were building our family home in Faramir. And it was a beautiful home. And we weren't quite ready to move in. So what we would do is we'd go to school. And then after school, my mom would pass by the building sites and we would run around and see what was happening there. But the house was now complete and we were putting in a pool, a family swimming pool. And so what I did that day is I went to my soon-to-be bedroom, which I was super chuffed about because now we had a bedroom, our own rooms with carpets. And so I lay in the window, the best window, it has the best sun, I'm just saying. And I lay in that window watching as the pool company blasted out the rock in order for a pool to be built in that place. And what they did is they used little sticks of dynamite and placed them in strategic places to blow up the rock in order to put this, sink this pool. And one thing I saw after that was it took a lot of time. I fell asleep while they were blasting the rock. It was hard work. It was not easy to get into that rock. And it cost my parents an arm and a leg. Don't look, they do still have them. but it cost them an arm and a leg to build that pool, which we hardly swam in because it was freezing. Because it was built in rock. but it was costly for them. And it's so important that we understand that foundations built on rock take time, or hard work, and it costs us. So the question you might be asking me is, Candace, what is rock then? And what is sand? Well, the scripture tells us so clearly what the rock is and what the sand is. And the rock are people, building foundations are the rock, on the rock are people who hear the word of God and obey the word of God. If you want to build your life on rock, it requires that we hear the word of God and obey the word of God. Then we're building on rock. Building on sand is hearing the word of God and ignoring the word of God. Hearing the word of God and ignoring the word of God, which is why it's sad to say that many of our churches are filled with people who just like to hear the word of God. They don't like to do the word of God. So there's Christ listeners, and then there are Christ followers. And there's a big distinction. Many people, this parable tells us 50% of people. Jesus' stats. 50% of who he spoke to, based on the wise and foolish person. 50% of his church, which doesn't give me much hope for my preaching today. We just ask God to come and do what God does. But 50% of Jesus, the best preacher of all times, preaching the best message, had people in his church who heard and didn't obey. Building on rock are people who hear the word of God and then obey the word of God. Building on sand is hearing the word of God and ignoring the word of God. You know, friends, many of us love that Jesus is our Savior. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from, he forgives us, he heals us, he makes us whole. We're going to go to heaven one day. You know, many of us love that he's our Savior, but less of us want to allow him to be our Lord. And there's a very big difference. There is a very big difference. When God says to us, okay, now it's time for you to let me be Lord of your life. Let me be Lord of your heart. It's time you need to forgive that person. No, God, I'm not going to forgive that person. Just bless me, heal me, but I'm not going to let you be Lord of my life. When he comes to our finances, and every week somebody encourages us in our giving, and a very small proportion of people actually tithe. When he wants to be Lord of our finances, we say, oh, God, just bless me, heal me, make me whole. But I don't want you to be Lord of my finances. People, we approach people all the time. Come on, it's important that you don't just sit in the church and be a pew warmer. Contribute. Give your gifts to God. Serve. Oh, no, just I want to hear the words of Jesus. They're so nice. Jesus' words are so beautiful, but I won't serve. I won't get up early. I won't pour a coffee for someone else, but I like the words of Jesus. I'll come. I'll hear the words of Jesus, but I won't serve. No, that would just be hard. You know, we love, love, love that Jesus is our Savior, but making him Lord requires discomfort, friends. It requires sacrifice. It requires us saying, okay, God, I'm going to hear your word, which tells me to tithe, and then I'm actually going to obey and tithe. I'm going to hear your word that tells me to serve my community and love my community, and then I'm actually going to do it. There is building our lives on rock requires hearing and obeying. Remember, this parable is not for agnostics. It's not for people who don't believe in Jesus. It is for people who proclaim to be Christ followers. And so, we need to make the decision in every area of our lives to hear and obey. Okay, God, with my heart, I'm going to hear and obey. With my finances, I'm going to hear and obey. With my church attendance, when I really feel sleepy and would like to be online, I'm going to hear and obey that the gathering of the saints is better than being alone. When I'm asked to serve, I'm going to hear and obey because serving makes me more like Jesus. In my marriage, I'm going to hear and obey and love. With my family, I'm going to hear and obey. And I'm going to do all the words that Jesus says, not just hear them because they're beautiful words, but when we put them into practice, that's when the foundation of our lives is strengthened. Many people have lots of knowledge on many things. I know Christ followers who could probably, or those who proclaim to be Christ followers who can quote me more of the Bible than I can quote them. But they never put the words of Jesus into practice. You know, we can have knowledge on lots of things. Knowledge on science, knowledge on how to live a wonderful family, how to have a family, knowledge on you know, how bad technology is for our kids. We can have knowledge on, you know, all sorts of things we can have knowledge on. But unless we put that knowledge into practice, there's no wisdom that comes from it. Biblical wisdom is when we actually apply spiritual truths to our lives. Biblical wisdom is when we actually apply spiritual truths to our lives in our decision making, in every single area of our lives. Let's go back to the two towers, the Burj Khalifa and the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was the foundation that made all the difference. The strength of the foundations made the difference to whether the building stood through storms or whether the building fell through storms. It made all the difference. And it tells us that we should get our foundations right. Take the time, do the hard work, pay the cost, and get our foundations right so that our buildings, our houses, our lives, our families, our churches, our societies can last well into the future and that they won't come crashing down the moment a first storm comes. Foundations are everything. They are the most important. Every building, both of those buildings started with the foundations. Every building starts with the foundations, but we get to decide what those foundations are. Are our foundations Christ? Are they Jesus? Do we say, okay, Lord, you're the rock. I'm going to hear and obey your words and make my foundations you. Or are they our opinions? Are they the culture of the day? Are they, you know, like sort of, you know, all the other things? And then we decide, okay, Jesus, I'm going to sprinkle you on my house. Jesus, you can be my doors and my wall and my chimney and my paint. But you're not actually my foundations. And many Christians, many, and we can see that through COVID, many people proclaiming to be Christ have not had foundations in Christ, and they've fallen away because they made Christ their paint and they're nice to have, bless me. But if we make him our foundations, when the storms come, which they will, our buildings will stand long into the future. I want to encourage you, friends. This is a message, a burden. Hearing the words of Jesus and obeying the words of Jesus are the only thing that make us followers of Christ. We only become followers of Christ when we start to put the teachings of Jesus into our lives. At Thrive Church, we say we want to be with Jesus. We want to become like Jesus. We want to start to do the things that Jesus would do. It moves to a place of doing. We can't just be, oh, bless me, that was nice. Worship was so good. Oh, the worship leader, you know, he sang okay today. Josh, you did an incredible job. You didn't just sing okay. we're not just here for bless me here. We're be with Jesus. There's a reason we want to be with Jesus. We want to become like Jesus. And then we want to start to do the things that Jesus would do. Our faith needs to be put into action. Our knowledge needs to move from knowledge into wisdom, and our foundations need to be strengthened. And so I'm here today, friends, to tell you, strengthen your foundations. Build your life on Jesus. Build your life on the teachings of Jesus and put them into application, because faith only works and is activated in our doing. It's activated in motion. It's not activated in our sitting. And I'm going to give you examples of this right throughout Scripture. God works in our working, not in our listening, not in our sitting. God works in our working. When Moses held out his rod, the sea split. When Joshua commanded the priests to put their feet in the water split, it parted. When the Israelites walked around the walls of Jericho, walked, When he walked, they fell down. When Jesus' disciples filled the jars with water, it turned into wine. When Mary rolled the tomb away, the stone, and she's like, he's going to stink, Jesus. I don't think you should do this. When she rolled it away, only then did a miracle happen. Only then was he raised. And some of us are sitting, oh, I want a miracle in my life. I want Jesus to just bless me and love me, but I'm not prepared to do anything. When the little boy gave his fish and loaves, only then did the miracle take place. It didn't fall out of heaven. There was a doing that was required in order for the miracle to take place. Listening alone does not produce a life filled with faith. Doing, acting, moving, doing something with the words of Jesus is what will strengthen our foundations and make us wise, friends. We've heard the words of Jesus. We've read the words of Jesus. Now let's apply the words of Jesus to every single area of our lives. And the only way we're going to know that is if we be with him, spend time in the word, become like him, and then start to do the things that he would do. You know, the past couple of years, in August, we usually go on holiday to the beach. And our son, Caleb, he's 8, but he's been doing this since he was 6. He loves to build a fort right on the water's edge out of sand. He builds a fort and a tower, and Byron and I will wisely say to him, Caleb, move your fort back. Go to higher ground, Caleb. Caleb, put your fort further up the beach, please, boy. Come on. And he's like, no, Mom, it's going to be strong. No, Mom, it's going to stand. no, Mom, it's amazing. And he literally says this to us. And he will build it for 2 hours. He will be covered in sand from head to toe. The sport will be huge. It will be huge. But after 2 hours, the first wave comes and it smashes to the ground. And he comes running to us, sobbing like, oh, my fort, my fort. And we're like, we told you, boy. We told you to move your fort and your castle to higher ground where it has a stronger foundation. And so it's predictable what's going to happen to Caleb. It's frustrating what's going to happen to Caleb because I know I'm going to have a little son that's full of sand on my lap crying. I know it. I know what's going to happen. It's predictable. It's frustrating. But the other thing is true too, friends. If we build our lives on the solid foundation of God, if we hear His words and obey His words, we are going nowhere. Our lives will be firm like the Burj Khalifa, standing there for generations to come. Our lives will be strong and fortified. It's predictable. It's certain. We will be immovable. And when the storms come, we will still be here after lockdown one, lockdown two, lockdown three, maybe lockdown four and five. We will still be here because our foundations are built on the rock that is Jesus. And we hear His word and we obey His word. Yeah. So I'd like us to take a moment, just bow our heads, close our eyes and respond to what we've heard here today. Today we've heard the words of Jesus. And we get to decide, are we wise or are we foolish? Do we just continually come to church? Because this is only really for those who proclaim to be Christians. And do we come to church and hear the words and do nothing with them? That was nice, Pastor Candace. That was great. And do absolutely nothing with it. Or are you going to be wise? And today we get the chance to decide whether we want to make Him just the Savior of our lives or the Lord and Savior of our lives, where we let every part of our lives bow to the Lordship of Him. We let our minds bow to the Lordship of Him. We let our finances bow to the Lordship of Him. We let our time bow to the Lordship of Him. We let our families bow to the Lordship of Him. And so right now, wherever you are, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. Is today the day you need to choose to be wise? I'm not asking you whether you want to proclaim that Jesus is Lord today. I want to ask if you want to hear and obey the words of Jesus today. And if you've just been hearing, well, then today's the day you pop up your hand and you say, from today, I want to hear the words of Jesus and obey the words of Jesus so that the foundation of my life will be solid. And so if that's you today, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand. If you're watching online, you can WhatsApp the number that's come up below me. Just WhatsApp, follow Jesus, and someone will help you process that decision. But if you're in the building, on the count of three, we're going to make the wisest decision, the decision to make Him Lord and Savior of our lives, the decision to make, to hear the words of Jesus and apply the words of Jesus. And so if that's you, on the count of three, would you pop up your hand? One, Jesus is stirring. Two, there's already hands up. I believe that He's prompting here. Three, let's make the decision to hear the words of Jesus and apply the words of Jesus. Thank you. So many hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. I'd love to include you in my prayer. Thank you. I see those hands. At the back, I see those hands. On the balcony, I see your hand. Up there on the balcony. If you're watching online, follow Jesus. Anyone else, last call. As we pray together, you're welcome to put your hands down if you've already responded and I've seen it. I believe there's two or three more people today. You want to hear the words of Jesus and apply the words of Jesus to your life. One more call. I'm looking here to my left. I believe there's someone in this bank. Thank you. I see your hand. In the middle bank. Just having one last look here. I want to include you in my prayer. And on the right bank, if that's you today, you want to hear the words of Jesus and apply the words of Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. In the balcony, one last call. I'm looking across. Thank you. I see that hand right at the back. Thank you. I see that hand over there. Let's pray together, friends. Church, in a loud voice, would you repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, for far too long, I've kept you out of my life. I know that all along, you've wanted a friendship with me, but that my sin has separated me from you. By faith, I receive your gift of salvation, and I'm ready to trust and follow you as the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. Please come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said a resounding amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.